Tafresh Lamites, because this, I think, is a self-contained, you know, topic. Ketzad. Page 205. Ketzad mitzvas yeshiva besukkah. All right, so up until now, we're learning how to build a sukkah, we're learning about the defilements of the sukkah, the size of the sukkah, the schach, what's kosher schach, the tzulim of schach. Now, at this juncture, we turn to the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah. Obviously, this is the first night of Sukkot, and the Torah says, "Basukkos teshu shivas yomim." And the question is, how do we fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah? Now, one of the questions that we have to ask here is, what happens to a person who doesn't have a sukkah? And if he has a neighbor who has a sukkah, that's fine. He doesn't have to live or eat in his own sukkah. But what happens if there's no one in the neighborhood who has a sukkah and he doesn't have a sukkah? How far does he have to travel in order to be mekayem the mitzvah of sukkah? Does he have to go for miles and miles? If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, he points out, Mishi yefshel lasos lo sukkah lo bi'evra nor. You know, v'tzorch lavar b'sfina ktana. He's going to have to take a raft. He says, Yesh mekilim lavar ba al yidei shegoya v'yireda mishum l'dvar mitzvah. He says he still has to do every effort to do so. But you're not allowed to go on a boat on Yontif. So he says he could hire a guy to take him across the river because it's amir la'akum for the sake of the dvar mitzvah. But he says many people are not so thrilled about this. In any event, let's assume we all have a sukkah, either our own or someone else's sukkah. Is Ketzad mitzvahs yeshiva besukkah? He says, Shehei ochel v'shose. Now, the Mechaber, as opposed to the Ramah, puts the emphasis here on ochel v'shose. What did he leave out?
Sleeping.
So the Ramah immediately jumps and he says, wait a minute. V'yashen. So when I read the word v'yashen, I thought that the Ramah is saying that there are two categories of activities that are primary with regard to sukkah. One is eating and drinking, and the other is sleeping. But then I read the next word in the Ramah, umetayel. That's very strange. What does umetayel mean? So I would like to suggest the following. Again, it's a little bit way out. That the word metayel here in the Ramah doesn't mean walking, but means living. Living means he's using tiyul as a paradigm, so to speak, or a code word for living in a sukkah. Doing whatever you do in a house, you do in a sukkah. And not leaving the sukkah. Metayel means, you know, if people like to walk around. And so most people, when they walk around, if they have a nice sized house, they'll walk around within the house. You know, sometimes if you sit too long, you get backaches, or, you know, the circulation in your legs is not doing well, so you get up and you walk around. You know, they say when you're on a plane for a long flight, you know, you got to walk around. It could be dangerous for the blood vessels. But what happens if you don't have a comfortable place? You get up and you leave. You go out of the house and you go for a tiyul. So the Ramah says, you know what? Your place for the tiyul is your house. Imagine your sukkah as your a beautiful home. And that's where you should be metayel. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, wait a minute. If metayel is indicative of living, then v'cheinim yitzel esapirim chaveiro. Where should you shmooze with your friend? And you can take him outside and go for a shpatzir. No. Shmooze with him in the house. Why? And here's the key words I would underline. The sukkaso tzarech lios kibbeso b'chol hashana. He has to convert his sukkah into his house. Therefore, I tell people they should bring an air conditioning into their sukkah, or at least a fan. Or if they use cell phones, I guess the kosher cell phones, then they should bring it into the sukkah. Everything should be brought in the sukkah. Before sukkahs, try to bring all the sfarim that you need during sukkahs, the benchrolls and whatever you think you might need into the sukkah. Because the very moment you have to go into the house in order to retrieve an object that you need in the sukkah, it's already not kibeso. Beso should be a self-contained unit. Now the Mishnah Berurah says the following. Wait a minute, there's a paradox. There's a tension, I call it the tension of Allah. On the one hand, sukkah is kibeso. On the other hand, beso is something secular and mundane. We do all sorts of things in our house. You know, we run around naked in our houses, right? We're not so careful about things. We have relations with our wives, and we You know, we have to go to the bathroom. I mean, a lot of things you do in the house. The house has to be equipped with every single room and every single kind of activity. It's a house. But there's a paradox. Why? Because Sukkah also has Kiddusha. Sukkah is the Tzelu Deb Nusa. It's almost like the Shechina is there. So how do I reconcile between these two polar extremes? On the one hand, I have to treat it like my house. I want to be totally comfortable, let loose, let it all hang out. On the other hand, it has Kiddusha. I'm sitting in front of the Shechina.
On the right there, well, you should put your best KDB, not just the ordinary KDB.
Right. He says the following, Roy Lamaipa Bidivre Chol. He says, we like to schmooze, right? We like to talk about all sorts of ridiculous things, right? Levity and jokes and things like that. Sometimes the jokes are even not appropriate for even in the house, but certainly not in the sukkah, he says. Uledavrabam ki'im b'kedusha v'torah. Now, this is a very harsh demand, and the standards of the Mishnah Berurah is very high. Try to imagine that your sukkah is not just a house, but it's a house of worship. It's a house of study. You're dedicating all your activities to mitzvahs, to suda, to Torah, to tefillah. In fact, we used to have a sukkah that was so large that the people in the building used to come to daven in that sukkah. And we have in Harnof, once a month they have a kalbach minyan. So they like to have a kalbach minyan on sukkahs. So our sukkah was large enough, we used to host the kalbach minyan. And it was a beautiful thing. Our sukkah became elevated. And then during the days of Chol HaMoed, we used to have Simchas Beis HaShoev and our sukkah for the entire yeshiva. And that also penetrates into the very atmosphere, the walls of the sukkah. And it's a makom kedusha. The kolshkein, she has zoyer miladavru bo lashon hara. Of course, you know, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't leave one single opportunity left unturned, you know, to speak about the Isur of lashon hara and rechilus. Shara dorim asurin. So it's very interesting. What happens to tashmish amita? Is tashmish amita considered something that's inappropriate for the kedusha of sukkah? And on that, the poskim write.
Well, the woman is not obliged, right?
Yeah. She's not obliged unless it's within the context of the mitzvah of ona, right? So there's certain tashmishim which are considered mitzvah tashmishim, and therefore they are appropriate for a sukkah. And we're going to soon see the discussion about a tashmish bozui. A tashmish bozui, if you turn to the next page for a second, the Ramah says, Al yaseh shum tashmish bozui b'sukkah. You're not allowed to do something that embarrasses the sukkah, so to speak. It's humiliating to the sukkah. For example, even though in our kitchen we wash our dishes, in the sukkah we don't wash our dishes. And not only that, we don't urinate in the sukkah. Even though in the house we have a bathroom for urination, but we don't do that in a sukkah. But what about relations with a wife? So if you take a look at the Be'er Halacha here, he writes, "V'tashmish amita lo mikri tashmish bozli." We do not consider the sexual act to be considered in any way humiliating or lower than the level of a kedusha sukkah. And on the contrary, he says, if a person is married and he wants to have relations with his wife and he wants to go into his house, in a sense, he's really being mafkia himself from a mitzvah, because the mitzvah is teishvu kein taduru. No, it's to the same extent that we said achila and shesia, according to the mechaber, is primary. That those are the functions that are kein taduru adira. The Rambam adds yoshen, that he should sleep in the sukkah. So too, we have to add tashmish amita. Lo mikri tashmish bozui b'meshu makayim mitzvah say shal piri v'rivi v'yona. It's interesting that he adds the word ona. Because let's say a person is in a marriage situation where there's no possibility of having children. Nevertheless, there still is a mitzvah of ona. But going back to the Ramah, we see that the Ramah is very keen on expanding the actions, the activities that we do in the sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah likewise follows suit. And again, with the exception of a tashmish bozui, everything should be brought into the sukkah. The sukkah should be made as comfortable as possible. You know, I've seen sukkahs which maybe just for the wealthy, but they're absolutely luxurious. And very often I said to myself, wait a minute, aren't they overdoing? And I think the answer is no. The more luxurious the sukkah is, the better. The more you can embellish. This is your house. Embellish it. Make it beautiful. Make it comfortable. And then the Mechaber says, Vidar.
If that's the way you live in your house. But if you make it even more than in your house, then
that's even better. That's even greater, because then you enjoy the sukkah even more.
Why are you doing that? Are you doing it for the sake of the sukkah, or are you doing it so people will say you?
Oh, no. I don't mean that. You know, if, I'm not talking about somebody who enters into the context for the most beautiful sukkah in Yerushalayim. You know, they have this annual context. No, I'm talking about a person who wants to be, he wants a gravitational pull to his sukkah. He wants to bring in his most beautiful kelim. He wants to make it absolutely beautiful. If he pays an artist to beautify the walls of his sukkah, I would say, adarabba, that beautifies the sukkah. It shouldn't be a shlupadukah sukkah. You know, who wants to go into the sukkah? I'll never. He should be attracted to the sukkah and want to be in the sukkah. And that's what the Mechaber writes, b'dor b'sukkah kol shemis yom. He doesn't even want to step out of the sukkah. Never have to go out of the sukkah. Why? Because I can't find 9 million other people to be mashal minyan. I got to go to shul. I better stay in the sukkah. If only I could stay in the sukkah. There were Gedolei Yisrael who never left the sukkah for 7 days. They didn't walk out just to use the bathroom. That was the only reason they left. And there were Gedolei Poskim who used to paskin shilas in the sukkah, and they would bring their phone into the sukkah and they would answer questions on the phone in the sukkah. They didn't want to leave the sukkah. And this is bein bayom bein balayla. And to what extent can derech shudar b'beiso b'shar yom b'shar? So imagine you live in a house and it gets cold at night. So what are you going to do? You're going to rent another house? You're going to pack out? You have heating and so forth. So the same thing should apply to your sukkah. If at night you're going to be so cold in the sukkah, that's why they say Lubavitchers don't sleep in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because in the old country, back in Lithuania, you know, most of Lubavitch was in Litha. My father came from Litha, and it was very close to Vilna, but it was all Lubavitch, all around Vilna. People don't realize how, you know, what inroads Lubavitch Pelion Chabad made. And it was so cold that who would want to sleep in the sukkah? You only slept in the sukkah because you have to. But on Shmini Atzeres, which is a Safek in Chutz Laretz, you know, we don't know, Yontif Sheni, then it would look like Bal Tosif, as if we've added another day in order to push ourselves to sleep in the sukkah.
That's another minhag of Chabad. They don't put all the decorations. You see, put decorations in your house.
No. Uh-huh. Well, I would say if the decorations embellish the beauty of the sukkah. He says, "Kederach shudar bebeisah shayvosu kol shivas yom osa adam es beisah aroy vesukasul keva keitzad." What does it mean that his house is now secondary? Kalim noy mitzos nos besukkah. All the beautiful things like tablecloths and utensils you bring into the sukkah. You know, there's some people who eat the whole year round the disposables, what they call chad pavi. I would suggest that on sukkah stafka, that's the time to bring in your real makoy stuff. You know, the plates and bowls and spoons and forks, all the good stuff. Ukleish siyako and hashishos. Hashishos are sort of very large bowls. Kosos. Kosos are cups. Pesukah. Everything is in the sukkah. Now, klei achila. What about things that are used just for cooking purposes? Kigon kideros ukaros. You know, large bowls that are used for making soup and stuff like that. Or the Ramah asks liachar achila, or the Ramah says, what if it's already been used and now it's got sherius, you know, it's got leftovers on it? It's chutz l'sukkah. It always goes outside of sukkah. But amenorah, you light up the sukkah, is besukkah. Hoysuk sukkah time. If he brings in a menorah, it'll be very hard to live in the sukkah. You know, they had candles in those days. Not like we have electricity. You pay an electrician to put a special. What's it called?
A florist
or whatever it is into your sukkah. But in those days it was a big candelabra, and then if it's in the sukkah and your sukkah is limited in size, it's going to be very difficult to move around. The Mishnah Berurah has a very interesting insight over here. If you take a look at number Dalet, he says Kelu Shemashim Bam Kemach
V'Arevos. With number?
Dalet. It's the second of the wide lines in the Mishnah Berurah. He says there are certain utensils that are used to knead dough. So what you do is you pour in large amounts of flour, and then you add the water and lashon behem. He says in those cases, you know, usually those kelim are used to prepare food, even though there's nothing, you know, disgusting or repulsive, it's not she'eris ochel, better to keep them in the closets in your house. If you go back to Noam Gimel, he says, cheres. What about kelim that are made of earthenware? You know, this was extremely popular back in the time of the Talmud. And what used to happen is that because they are porous, then food used to go into the kelim, and after a while you had to throw them out. He says, no, you can use them in the sukkah. Why? Einim asim, they're not mos. Why? Because they used to use this primarily for light. Do you remember the pictures of the ancient lempelach, what they call, you know, and then it was shaped like almost like a lantern, you know, a little lantern, and it was made of cheres. He says that even though some of the oil inevitably drips into the cracks and the crevices, nevertheless it's not mos. But if you have klei achila, then the leftover particles of food make it kind of repulsive, and you want to take that out of the sukkah. He says in number vav that you don't passel the sukkah if you bring in such kelim that were used. And then he says, now we go back to the mechaber. He says, and this is on page 206. Ochlim v'shosim v'yishenim v'sukkah. Now all of a sudden, this is very odd, the Mechaber reminds himself that you have to sleep in the sukkah. In Aleph, he sort of was mavliyah, you know, he swallowed it in together with dar basukkah, but he didn't spell it out. The Ramo is the one who felt compelled to spell it out. And it's very interesting as we go through the Mechaber, which is more harsh, which is more stringent and strict in Halacha, sleeping or eating? Wow, I'm very impressed, Doc. I would have said eating, but you're right and I'm wrong.
It is a pleasure. Sleeping, you may be in the cold.
Well, it has to do with what's called aroy. You know, sometimes you eat a quick bite, a small meal. I know sometimes for Kiddush, for example, on Shabbos, or if you're, you know, if Shabbos is a long day, you know, you take a little bit of a nash during the day, or even during a weekday sometimes, you know, you'll take a little nash. That's called achilas arroy. And we're going to see that the halach of sukkah is very lenient with regard to an achilas arroy. And you're allowed to nash things outside the sukkah. Could be that once it's mizonos, maybe that's different, but certainly if it's only a shahakal of fruit and the like. But when it comes to shema, even though sometimes you have a dribble, you know, a little bit of a short kind of a nap, we used to call it a power nap, even so, it's got to be in the sukkah. So it's very interesting, when a person feels very tired, let's say for example, I'm reading in a Beis Medrash on sukkahs, and I, you know, the Sfarim are in the Beis Medrash, and then I don't have those Sfarim at home.
Shabbos afternoon, October.
And inevitably, you start getting very tired. Got to run into the sukkah. Take a look at the Mechaber. He says, "Ochlim v'shosim v'yishenim v'sukkah shem sukkah." He says, "Ein yishenim chutz l'sukkah." You're not allowed to sleep out the sukkah. Filu shnas aroy. We'll soon see how the Mishnah Berurah embellishes this. Avol muto lechal achil saray chutz v'sukkah. I always thought this to me is counterintuitive. I always thought that the mainstay of yeshiva v'sukkah is achil and shasir. Who would think of eating outside the sukkah? But yet, if it's achilas aroy, the Mechaber is mati. You could go outside the sukkah and eat your achilas aroy. Chapanash. You have potato chips, or you have, you know, now they have all these different type tortilla chips. You know, you go out of the sukkah. Who cares? You don't have to eat that in the sukkah. But Shena? Oh, I have a dribble here, I have a dribble here. What difference does it make? No, it's got to be in the sukkah. But kam achilas aroy, when is it still considered just a nash that I'm allowed to eat it outside the sukkah? He says, kibbeitza, if it's up to but not more than kibbeitza mipas. Now, this is interesting. When he says kibbeitza, what does that mean, kibbeitza? So if you look in the Bir Halacha on the right column, it's about seven lines down from the top, he says, aval yoser ma'at choshuv keva. The law becomes very meticulous. If it's a drop more than a kibbeitza, that already makes it into an achilas keva. So let's say, for example, you're eating crackers.
Or pizza.
Pizza. Well, pizza, you know, pizza's complicated because, you know, there are people who wash on pizza. Okay, I don't want to get into this. This is possible, the kiss thing. You really have to learn ketzav and vavakim. You're learning brachas now. Are you up to ketzav and vavakim yet?
Yeah.
That's the parak that starts in daf lamed hey. You got up to daf lamed hey? In brachos? Oh, so you're learning ketzav and vavakim.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you're moving at the speed of light. I've been teaching brachas now for over a year. We're only up to daf yud gimel. But we do it, you know, slowly. We're not. In any event.
If it's not a pizza.
Let's say crackers. In the classical case would be crackers, right? So how many crackers do you have to eat to be chayv in sukkah? And that's called kibetza. Now, I don't know. In crackers, maybe, I don't know, it depends on the cracker, the thin crackers, dot, and there's this, that, and the other thing. But at some point, it becomes a little bit more than a kibbutz, and you have to eat it, and the sukkah becomes an achilas keva. Or, for example, with regard to drinking, umuta lishtos mayim, water is always, by definition, no matter how much water you drink, achila ashtias aroi. Yayin, what about wine? Wine, says the Mishnah Berurah, depends upon a revius. And it could be that there are situations in which you could be koveya on yayin, even with less than a revius yayin.
If the rest of the food, it's a...
Right, if let's say, for example, it's the mainstay of your meal, correct?
No, well, then it's a meal.
Right. Now, yayin...
A little shluk of wine.
What's a shluk? How much is a shluk? Is more than a revius or less than a
revius? Less than a revius.
Oh, I thought that shluk is revius.
Okay. So
shluk. So how do you spell it? Shin lam vav kuf?
Yes.
But I mean, shluk is a measurement? It's a quantity?
No. So if you have a lechaim, someone comes to your house and you give him a little...
It's called a shluk?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Shluk. Okay.
A little bit of wine. So you have to have it in the soup, sure. No, but how much is a revius? How much is a revius?
He says the following. You see the first of the wide lines of the Mishnah Berurah. He says, Achilas peros, when it comes to fruits, is afilu harbe, even if he eats fruits galore, you know, he's got a whole eshkol of anovim. He says, Bekfius, is chashiv rak achilas haroi. It's always considered like an achilas haroi. Or, for example, if you eat meat, or fish, or cheese, or other very significant foodstuffs, that's always, no matter what volume, achilas haroi. We're only being machmir on asui michamesha saminim, only if it's made from one of the five species of grains.
A big steak and it's not considered
anchovies.
Okay, so there could be a smaller volume of pas, of chameshis meaning dogum, but you were koveya on that pas, meaning that's all you have, and that's your suuda. And then even on yayin, you could have a lesser amount of yayin, and you could be koveya on yayin. But yet, the Darke Moshe disagrees, and he says, well, yayin is nechshav kachilas pri. Yayin, it's only if you drink a certain major volume, which is called a revius, then and only then is it called kvius, according to this opinion. But das kamach ronim lefakvikim b'din zevedaitam tim shose yayin b'kvius. If it's a mainstay in his meal, I know, for example, in France, you know, they don't eat without wine. So even if he didn't drink a full revius of yayin, he was koveya, he's chayiv in sukkah, according to this opinion. Ubefrat b'nei chabura. When you get together a group of people and they drink wine together, they give out, you know, wine glasses, shot glasses, is that's considered kev hagomur, and therefore you need to bring it into the sukkah. So basically we have three categories here. We've got one category which, no matter what volume you eat, it's always considered by definition aroi, you're allowed to eat it outside the sukkah. And that includes, in the case of liquids, includes water. In the case of solids, it's going to include basar and dogim and gvina and the whole gamut. In the case of peros, as many fruits as you eat, it's always considered by definition aroi, you're allowed to eat it outside the sukkah. On the other extreme, we have a case where it's always by definition considered keva, and that's the case of chameshis mine dogon, when it's a little bit more than a kibetz. Then we have a whole gamut of the middle. We'll call it in the Rambam's language the Beinoni. And what's in the Beinoni? So if it's chameshis mine dogon, then everybody agrees it's in the Beinoni. And there, even if you eat less than a pas of yoser ma'at mikabetza, if you're koveya suda on that pas, that itself requires a sukkah. And then you have yayin according to one opinion. One opinion says yayin is the same category as peros, and unless you drink a revius yayin, it's not It doesn't obligate.
How much is a revius?
Revius in my day was 4.4 ounces. I don't know if that tells you anything. But if it's less than 4.4 ounces, it's less than a revius, then according to one school of opinion, it's like peiros. It's just made peiros. It's just liquid from juice from fruits. And therefore, it's not kavius. According to the other opinion, no. If you kovea sud on the yayin, even though it's in this shot glass, you have less than a revius, you have to drink that in sukkah, because yayin, like pas, gets the chashivus of this additional halacha of being kovea suuda, and therefore, just like in pas, if you kovea suuda on a pas that's less than a kibetza, you would still have to eat it in the sukkah. So too, in the case of yayin, you could be kovea suuda la yayin, even if it's less than a revius, if you kovea suuda. Then the Vilna Gaon wants to know, are these dinim identical with regard to birkas hamazon? So this is a discussion which you'll see in the Bir Halacha. We'll finish up with this. The Bir Halacha on the right side, on the bottom, quotes the Gaon. He says, "Vehine agra," two lines up from the bottom. Mevi mekar ledasa shulchan aruch mi brachas taflam in vava min beis the amirin sham behedja leinim birkas amoson the lokavi inshi suda alayayin, that people are not kovea suda alayayin. V'afilum kava b'teila daito etzel kolodom v'uadin l'yin sukkah, that yayin is not like pas, because if you read the mechaber carefully, the mechaber classifies yayin, presents yayin together with mayim and peros in one breath, and the Ramah says that according to the mechaber afilum kava layim, meaning even in the case of yayin, there's no such thing as kvius Suda al hayayin, and therefore, when the Mechaber speaks about kviya suda, he's only going to talk about pas, not about yayin. And if you look on the left side, which is on the top of your page 207, he says v'tav shel ha'osu mechamesh tamidim im kovel of chashiv keva v'tzor sukkah. So the Mechaber only talks about kviya suda with regard to chamesh esmine. And he does not accept kviya suda with regard to yayin. And the proof, says the Gaon, is from the Gemara in Ketzam Avachim. The Gemara in Ketzam Avachim is talking about birkas hamazon. The Gemara says there's no situation in which you're obligated in birkas hamazon for drinking wine, even if you are koveya suda al yayin. The chiyuv of birkas hamazon depends upon kviya suda, which is only applicable to chameshes mine dagon. And then he writes the ein raya klal.
Oh.
But the proof is not viable. Why not? The hasam there hakavana b'sofa suda. There, with regard to the sofa suda, there might be a separate halacha that, with regard to yayin, there's no kviya suda, unless. Okay, this gets a little bit more complicated. He says the following. The Gemara seems to assume that at least on Shabbos and Yontif, there is such a thing as being Kovea Suda L'Yayin. And that would seem to indicate that there is Kviya Suda L'Yayin. Says the Gon Ein Raya Kal. No, there it's B'Sofa Suda. And what does it mean? Derech L'Kvoa Suda L'Yayin. Because after he benches on Shabbos and Yontif, he's going to drink from the Kos Yayin. And the question is, does he have to recite a separate bracha, bracha Rishon on the Yayin that he drinks after the Suda? HaKavana B'Sofa Suda L'Kach Poter Eshali Acher HaMazon. The bracha that he recites on Yayin at the end of his Suda will carry over even after the Birkas HaMazon, such that when he drinks the wine of the Birkas HaMazon, there's no need to recite another Birkas Bori Pri HaGofen. This is very complicated. He says, and that's only as far as Sofa Suda. And the Gemara uses the example of Shabbosos V'Yom Tovim. There, on Shabbos, it was very commonplace. The custom was that at the end of the Suda, they would bring a cup of wine for benching, and they would drink that cup after benching. You don't have to make a new bracha. That yayin is considered a Kviya Suda, and the Bori Pri HaGofen now extends even after the Birkas HaMazon. But in general, universally, you cannot be Kovea Suda ala Yayin, and therefore the Gaon comes to the conclusion that you will not recite You would not be obligated to eat, to drink your wine in the sukkah, even if you koveya su'uda al-yayin. This is the Gaon's opinion to support the Machaber, but as we said before, there is a school of thought in the poskim that if you koveya su'uda al-yayin, especially with B'nai Chabura, you've got to drink the wine in the sukkah. So next time you see people drinking wine outside the sukkah, stop them and send them here to page 206 in the Shavur.
So if you make Kiddush Shabbos morning, you have to, it's not a Suda.
Well, that is going to be a Machlokas Haposkin, whether you could be Koveya Suda on Yayin.
You're definitely having more than Revi's.
Oh, if you're definitely having more than a Revi's, then there are Poskim who say that's called a Kfiya Suda.
There's not a Suda.
The Mishavru would seem to vacillate back and forth. He's not so sure that you can be Koveya Suda on Yayin and you can be Chayiv in Sukkah, but he does quote one school of thought against the Machaber. The Gaon supports the Machaber that you can be Koveya Suda on Yayin. That Yayin is not like fruit juices for other fruits, but it has a special...
Is there any particular? Is just for Shabbos and Yom Tov?
Yeah, no. Shabbos and Yom Tov was the minute to drink the wine after benching. Yeah. That was very special for Shabbos and Yom Tov. I know people who are knowing that today they want. But again, we haven't covered the balance of this beer. Look at the size of this beer. You know, we'd have to spend at least another half hour. What time is it now?
9:11.